Thank you. The recordings are started. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the DESA call on the 6th of October 2011. On the line today, we have Sarah Langdonneau, Rafik Damak, Andre Thompson, Mike O'Connor, Olivier Crépin-Melon, Jack Griffin, Takayasu Matsua, Jörg Schweiger, and Jacques Latour. From staff, we have Patrick Jones and Julie Headland. On Adobe, we have Estella Mattioli and Jim Galvin. We have apologies from Sean Copeland, Vim de Gazella, Katerina Sataki, Andrej Philip, Scott McCormick, and Bart Boswinkel. I'd ask you to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, Mike. Go ahead.
Thanks, Natalie. And just for the attendance record, I think Craig Aaron has either just joined the call or will be coming in. He's come into Adobe, so we can add him to the list. Welcome, everybody. Our agenda is short and sweet, but important nonetheless. Mostly, we're going to focus on continuing the vulnerability scope discussion. And then we've got a slide deck that we want to run by you that the co-chairs will be using in Dakar for the various status update meetings. So we'll take some time towards the end of the call to do that. And Greg will only be on Adobe for the moment, but he's at least with us. Thanks for that, Greg. So with that, we'll stop for a moment and just check and see if anybody needs to tell us about an update to their statement of interest, then we'll go ahead. Okay. On your screen is the vulnerabilities mind map, and I'm pretty sure that we'll be able to get through the rest of this today. We really only have the three topics, DNSSEC, vulnerability of DNS software, and bad players to get through in terms of our scope discussion. And starting off with the first one, I'm just having a kind of elderly moment. I don't know why we skipped that one last week. So if anybody can remind me, that would be good. But we at least need to decide what to do with DNSSEC. I'm not sure that I would call DNSSEC a vulnerability per se. Perhaps the lack of DNSSEC could lead to vulnerabilities. Clearly, if we decide that DNSSEC is an appropriate thing to talk about, it would seem to me to be in scope, since the top level and the root seem to be where the DNSSEC action is happening right now. Mark Koster just joined us, too. So, any thoughts on DNSSEC, what we want to do with this? Potential, yeah, and in fact, let me open this up. Jim Galvin just typed something into the chat. Saying, that's a little ugly. Let's see how bad this is. Here's what I captured. Can I fit it all? Yes, I can fit it all on the screen. Here's what I captured about DNSSEC, and Jim's comment is a potential DNSSEC vulnerability is your key management. If you don't do it right, you go dark. And Greg agrees, yes, the root is signed as well. Jacques is suggesting maybe this is an operational issue. Mark Costers is saying, yep, pretty operational. Jim Galvin isn't convinced completely, since many management issues do this. Jim, you may need to clarify that one a little bit for me. This is an interesting call. I am the reader of the call. Everybody's doing all the work in Adobe. I love this. agreeing that this is an operational issue. So in scope and put it in the operational issues pile, that seems to be where things are headed. If you disagree, this would be a good time to steer me in the right direction. Otherwise, I'll put it in scope and take an action item to move it into the operational issues. Going once, going twice. Okay. Let me do that real quick. Whoop. Just fix my little thing here. Down, two to go. The next one that showed up in vulnerabilities, I think this came from originally from the meeting in Singapore in our group discussion there. And then over the course of my rummaging, I threw a whole bunch of topics into this, some of which may be in scope, some of which may be out. And I can expand some of these just to give you a sense of what I was finding as I... Whoa, it gets a little bit. Oh, well, there's DNSSEC again. I think maybe what we'll do is we'll put that one up, DNSSEC pile. We've got a whole pile of DNS. Come on, little computer, you can do this. Come on. There we go. Short pause while I rearrange my document. Whoa, there's a whole bunch of wildcard stuff. I guess too much to show on the screen. Anyway, that's sort of the topic. And the question of the day is, is this in scope? And then, if so, I can find a home for it. I'm less concerned about where it goes. Is there anybody, I guess one way to frame this is to say, is there anybody who thinks this is out of scope? It certainly seems like there are a lot of things to talk about in this topic. Oh, Cheryl is typing in scope. Cheryl is saying in scope. Anybody think this is out of scope? That's what I would lobby for now. Otherwise, I think we'll just go with the flow. This one came up very early in our conversation, and there's certainly lots of material under it. Okay, so I'm going to put that in scope. And carry on. All right. Last one, and again, this is a first pass. We had a conversation about some of this on the co-chair's call on Monday, and I should reemphasize that all of these are sort of a first-time-through conversation. I think we may get some course corrections over the next few weeks, especially at Dakar, that we may want to fold into some of this. But we are on the home stretch here. In vulnerabilities, I'm just going to, we have a topic in vulnerabilities that we consider in scope called governmental interventions. In there, the subtopics are things like regulatory imposed shutdown, government seizure of regulatory registry operator, government takeovers, coups, political events, etc., state-sponsored and so on. And I think that this topic, the bad players topic, came up in Singapore. And with your permission, I think I would tend to fold this one into the already existing area that we have in vulnerabilities, but we could also have a separate, well, first question, I guess, is whether this is in scope or not, and if it is, we could sort out where we think we want to put it. Again, I think I'll call for anybody thinking this is out of scope. I think clearly, in terms of threats, these are the kinds of sources of threats that lead to the attacks. So I'm getting some comments in the chat. Patrick, Cheryl, and Rosella think it's in. So we'll do that. We'll put it in. Just copy and paste it into the other one while I'm thinking about it. All right. So, ta-da! We've gotten through the first pass of the scope discussion. And we should take a moment and shout hooray. There is some more stuff that I have stopped summarizing, and I'm going to return to that. So I may come back to you on a subsequent call with a couple more additions to one of these lists, because people forwarded a couple of ideas to me, and I just haven't had time to summarize them. But I think we've certainly covered the waterfront, and thank you all for that. So with that, let's move on to the Dakar slides. Let me show you what the current draft from the co-chairs looks like. And see what you think. I sent it out to the list, and hopefully you all got it. It was a pretty big file. And so rather than enclosing it as part of the email, for those of you who are on slow email connections, I did a link to it. So just step you through it really quickly. The purpose of these slides is primarily for the five co-chairs to go update their respective communities, sort of where we're at. The thought is that we'll spend 5 or 10 minutes walking through these slides and then take some time at the end to take some input. We are also invited to join the SSR Accountability Review Team at 8 in the morning on Thursday, and we'll use these slides in that conversation just to kick that off as well. So anyway, just to give you a bit of an update on what these are about, so I repeat our sort of payday charter slide and then sort of give an update on where we're at. This is a kind of informal guesstimate on my part. I think what we've just completed is about 70% of the identify threats work. What we need to do yet is go through that again, make sure that it's really right, touch on the ones that we didn't decide, and then get to consensus on, well, before we get to consensus, one of the big steps in the work plan is to go out to the community and ask the community, how are we doing on this? Are we on the right track? And actually, that's the main point of this slide deck. You'll see in a minute that a summary of our scope discussion is in here. And I think that's really going to be the focus of the conversation in Dakar. I think we're doing fine, but we're not completely done with this first phase. And so this is just a kind of project manager thing, describing all that. This is the Jörg Schweiger Memorial Show Off How Much Work We've Done slide. When you look at the results of our work, it's very easy to come to the conclusion that we haven't done very much, but those of you who've been on all these calls and dragged, you know, been dragged through all these conversations know that we've done a lot of work, and it's time to acknowledge that. So I had fun making this slide, and that's the reason this deck is so big, is because these PDFs over on the left are pretty big. For the transcript, Cheryl loves the George Bernard Shaw reference, that's the quote that says, "I'm sorry this letter is so long. I didn't have time to make it shorter." Really what you all have been doing is making a really long document a whole lot shorter and a whole lot easier to comprehend. So it's worth taking a moment with our respective ACs and SOs and acknowledging that. One of the things that we have done is refined our scope a lot, both in all those individual statements that we've been working on, but also just refining our understanding, our shared understanding of scope. And so there's a slide on here that takes a piece out of the charter, but then also takes a piece out of Greg's email that we talked about. And so just a moment to highlight that. Oh, York says that quote is Schiller to Goth. I don't know. Maybe it is. I was doing my internet search thing, and it popped up under George Bernard Shaw. It just goes to show you shouldn't trust everything you read on the internet, I guess. Sorry about that, York. That could well be right. So anyway, here's a summary. This is a couple of weeks old, so what I will do is I'll go through and update these. That's why it says draft all over, and it's really going to stay draft through Dakar, because what we really want to do is show this to all of the community folks and get their reaction to our choices. And I think that Patrick's got a reaction to one, and Patrick, if it's okay with you, let me step through all three, and then we can circle back to this one. We had a bit of a discussion about the business failure and the rationale for taking it out of scope, and so you may want to at least highlight this one. And if we can agree, we'll do something with it. If we can't, we'll just move business failure up into the under discussion pile and get it fixed, because there are a few things in here that are still under discussion, as you can see. So this is just a quick look at the threats, direct attacks, and then the indirect attacks one. And we have poor old email sort of hanging out there alone on this one. We may want to, when we get done, we may want to move that into some other section. Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, Mikey, can you go, okay, back up to threats on the underlying infrastructure slide?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. So I made this point earlier with the small group, but I am not sure about the rationale statement for business failure. It may well be out of scope, but I think it seems like a rather strong statement to make at this stage, because one, we don't have a lot of data, real world data on the failure of a registry, so we don't know what either a smaller or a registry other than CommonNet may have on the infrastructure. And another is I'm not sure that that's the right rationale. So I don't know what others think about this. Maybe some registry operators that participate in the call have a view, but I'm wary of having a rationale that strong for business failure.
Trying to get the actual PowerPoint slide up on the screen so that I can edit it. Okay, what do people think about that? Any thoughts on that particular topic? Oh, good, it's on the screen. Jorg, Jim Galvin, Mark Koster, York says a business failure on a root level would certainly have an impact. Mark says makes sense. Mark Koster says makes sense to me to take it out of the rationale part. I just love this. I get to be the reader. Multiple attendees are typing, so we'll have a bit of a chat on the. Thank you, Mark. Mark says I'm doing a great job as a reader. Anyway, I think the question that I'd like to focus on is whether what we're doing with this. Are we going to leave it out of scope? Or are we going to move it back into still under discussion? Either is fine with me. I think that if there's a problem with the rationale, we can fix the rationale right now. If there's a problem with in or out of scope, then we should probably pull it back up under, well, we can work on it today, but at a minimum we should pull it into under discussion rather than leaving it out of scope. Let's see. Patrick says it could stay out of scope, I think. We don't really have enough information to make that rationale so strong. Let me capture that point. Meanwhile, lots of people have typed. Jim Galvin agrees that business failure at the root would be an issue. Cheryl agrees with Jim. Jim thinks, I think we should leave it otherwise as an open question. Perhaps we'll get some advice during the public presentation. Jorg has a good suggestion. Put it out for comment. What was Jorg's? Oh, yeah. And take it out to the community. So that would be one way to do that, is to move it up into under discussion and highlight it for discussion. That's sort of where we're headed at the moment. Cheryl's agreeing. Okay, let's do that. I'll move this one in there. Change it to regular type. Dear, you can do this. Good. All right. I'm going to have to fix a lot of this stuff post-haste, but I've got the idea. Put it up there for now. Okay. Anything else on the slide deck? Let's see, how am I going to show you things now that I'm on the PowerPoint thing? I think I'm going to go back to the deck, and then I'm going to give you, you can each have control of the deck yourselves and sort of use it to scroll up and down, check things. So you can now individually move around in the document. Just check. Jim Galvin is typing. Anything else on this deck? Close enough for Dakar? Jim and Jacques are typing. I may be missing. I did. I missed a bunch of stuff. Patrick agrees with Jim on the put it out for comment. Yeah, I agree, Jim. Maybe we take the rationale off. Yeah, okay. I get that. I missed that comment. Let me take that out of there. It's easy. Now it's you can't see this because I've switched back to the PDF version of the document, but the rationale is out. And business failure is just under discussion. So the ones that are under discussion right now are depletion of the IPv4 address pool and underlying infrastructure, IDN attacks, and malicious or unintentional alteration of DNS configuration information in direct attacks. What in the heck is... Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. I've lost myself in my own documents here. Okay, so it sounds like this deck is okay with that change. I'm going to give you your last chance to say no thanks, but the only change that we'll make to the document that's on the screen in front of you is that in the first slide of in or out of scope stuff, we'll move business failure back under discussion with no rationale, and take the rationale out of there. Okay. Wow. I guess at this point, what we could do, I hate to miss the opportunity to keep moving forward. So if it's all right with you all, since we have another half hour on this call, I'm out of agenda items, and my inclination would be to go back to discussing some of these under-discussion topics, because some of them we just didn't have time to get through properly. So unless... Greg is saying near the end of the call, maybe we could talk about the car. Why don't we do that now, Greg? And then we can circle back to the ones that we didn't get to. Questions of logistics and so on. Let's do the who will be there question. If you are going to be in Dakar, why don't you go ahead and use the same, up in the center of the top of the Adobe screen, there's a little raise hand thing, and next to it is a agree. Well, yeah, go ahead and raise your hand if you're going to be in Dakar, or agree, just some indication. And if you're not going to be in Dakar, don't indicate anything. So I see quite a number of people are going to be there. Way to go. I'm not. Julie is not. Mark Costers is not. I am not. Oh, that's a good idea. Use the X if you're not. I can use that too. Oops. Okay, so Natalie, here's a little action item for you. Can you write down the list of who says they're going to be there or not? The thing that cheers me up about this is that this is a sufficient group for a pretty good face-to-face conversation in Dakar. Leave your hands up for a moment so that Natalie can capture that. Here's the thought that I've had is on the co-chairs group, we've had a conversation about what to do with that meeting, and the leaning there, and I think on a previous all DSSA call, was to make it a working meeting, just like the one we had in Singapore. The topic of that work to be determined based on where we are. So the exact kind of work and the agenda isn't determined yet. But it's not going to be a big public gala. It's going to be another one of these closed meetings just for the working group, do real work kind of meeting. And I'm working hard on the technology to try and get the workspace working well for people who are coming in remote. And so I'll probably lead the remote side of the call, and one of the other co-chairs will lead the in-the-car call. Okay, so let's see. I've gone way behind on my reading. Yeah, Jacques has a good idea that we should send an email to the mailing list asking people to. Natalie, maybe you could do that.
Mikey, this is Julie. Julie Hedlund. I just wanted to point out that it is not a closed session in Dakar. It's an.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
The last one was. That's why.
The last one was, but this one is open. I think to a certain extent, the anticipation was that there would be an update on the work of the group. You know, at that session, not lengthy, and I don't think this means that we can't use that time for. You know, for the meeting of the group and some substantive work, but it's not currently listed as a closed session.
Ah, well, that's a divergence from my understanding. Maybe we'll take that one up with the co-chairs. Why don't we?
That's fine. Whatever you decide, and we can certainly work with that. It's just that I just wanted to point it out.
Yeah, thanks. And it's a good catch because it would be bad news if we. Set up a whole meeting with the anticipation that it was closed, and then a bunch of people thundered in, and we'd be waving our arms and going, what do we do now? So let's try to remember to circle around to that on the co-chair's call next Monday, see what we can figure out. Anyway, that's kind of what's up there. Then in Dakar, there is also a meeting scheduled with the SSR Accountability and Transparency Review Team group. And my memory fails me as to who's invited to that. I think it's everybody in the DSSA is invited to that, but I can't remember.
Yeah, Mike. It definitely everybody in the DSSA is invited. That is a closed session.
Okay. So for those of you who up till now haven't heard about that, that meeting is I think at 8 in the morning on Thursday, and we should probably send a note to the email list alerting folks to that as well. And as we just said, everybody's welcome. This is an opportunity for the two working groups to sort of update each other on what they're doing and see if there's any overlap and see if there are ways that we can work together, share information, et cetera, et cetera. So it's essentially a working meeting. Now that we've gotten a bit underway and they're also a bit underway, this seemed like a good time to put us all in the same room and see what we can learn from each other. So, Jock is suggesting a meeting invite with the right time zone for the Dakar meeting. We may usually the meeting invites go out in UTC, Jock, so that people can just translate to wherever they're going to be. And then it'll show up probably in the master schedule for the meeting with a Dakar time listed. Does that sort of cover what you wanted to cover, Greg? Is there anything that I missed in that sort of rambling, ad hoc, not quite prepared? I probably should have done that. I was kind of planning to do that next week, but it's a good idea to get it on people's radar a little bit ahead of schedule. Greg seems to think I did all right. Okay. If there isn't anything else on Dakar, I think I'd like to circle back to the discussion about scope. And hang on a minute while I rejigger my screen here. The first one that, here it is. All right. I'm trying to find the IP, the depletion of the IPv4 address pool. I'm mumbling, Cheryl. I'm mumbling. I'm sorry. I'll be there in a minute.
Yes, you're mumbling, and you don't seem to have brought us back to address the question that Jacques has raised in terms of fragmentation of the route.
Yeah, I think what we'll... I see, and that one is in scope. All right, so let's... let me just get all that on your screens. And I'm close. I'm very close. And then we can...
Because I opened up the... it's Jacques here.
Yeah.
The last version of your MindJet file, and I can't find anything about fragmentation there.
Yeah. Here's where it is. It's this is in the MindJet file, threats, not vulnerabilities. I split this into two because it got so big. And so in fragmentation of the route, what SAC9 is talking about is the alternate DNS routes, the root scaling kind of stuff that's in SAC 46, and the DNS blocking issues that are raised in SAC 50. The group put that one in scope. Do you have an issue with that, Jacques? Do we want to move that one back under discussion, or do you think that it does fit in scope for what we're doing?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I was on vacation for the last 2 weeks, so I missed a little bit here, so
yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah, well, and this is a very confusing document that we're working from. That's part of the good work that we've been doing is making this easier to follow. So it's not a problem that we couldn't find it in there. We actually have two, and this is the last call. The FY12 issue was raised in Singapore. It came in on the results from the brainstorming session there, and I don't know what that was. I think I'm going to give this one last call, and then if nobody can remember what we were talking about, I'm just going to take it out of scope. Is there some event in fiscal year 12 that is coming up, some technical change or standards change, or is it just the end of the world, which is predicted for when the Mayan calendar runs out? Maybe that's what it was. Who knows?
Sorry.
Mayan calendar going once, going twice, it might take this out. Okay, I'm going to take this out. Sorry.
You crack me up, Mikey.
Well, you know, the end of the world would be really tough on DNS. You imagine the apocalypse, the four horsemen of the apocalypse show up and trash the DNS root servers?
Maybe that's the true meaning of it.
Could be. You know, Mayan calendar and the end of DNS. Okay, so here's the
I've lost it. Sorry, guys.
I've lost control of the meeting. Look at this. Greg Aaron says, damn Mayans. Damn you, Mayans. Damn you. why do I do this? This is like being in the library and breaking into giggles and not being able to stop. Sorry. Okay. Ahem. Back to work. Depletion of the IPv4 address pool. The two issues that were raised there were the growth in the routing table and the problems of possible route fragmentation problems. These were raised in SAC 12. Greg is snoring. You want to expand that, Greg? Are you snoring about the end of the world, or are you snoring about fragmentation or depletion of the IPv4?
Must be the routing table leads up to
Olivia, everybody's typing. I'll just become your reader again. Mark Costers is saying this is out of scope. Olivier. Olivier says, I thought IPv4 address pool was the end of the world. Rosala agrees, probably with Mark, not with Olivier. Jacques says out of scope, but is laughing out loud. Oh, God.
He's
out of hand. But it does seem to be out of scope. Okay, so we need a rationale for it being out of scope, folks. Let me just... we can't put the end of the world in our official... Okay. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. As a rationale for it being out of scope, I would say that, or I would suggest that DNS has never been a great consumer of IP addresses. So the depletion of IPv4 address pool is not likely to have much of a significant impact on it. Thank you.
I think that the issue is more in terms of the routing table, which also isn't terribly dependent on DNS so much as just routing.
Yeah, in either case, yeah. And in both cases, the routing table is going to grow anyway. In
right.
V6, it's also going to grow. So...
Yeah.
It really is a non-event. Thank you.
So the rationale is DNS is not a consumer of IPS addresses. So changes in the routing table.
But Mikey, Olivia, again, it is a consumer. I mean, it does use IP addresses, but it's not a heavy consumer of IP.
Yeah,
addresses.
Okay. Maybe... why don't you repeat the rest of your rationale? I think actually the other parts were good ones, Olivier, and I missed them because I'm sort of multitasking here and my darn phone rang.
Thanks, Mikey, Olivier here. I wish I could remember them.
Pick them up from the transcript too. Okay, so out of scope going once. Anybody want to put it in scope? This is your last chance. Otherwise, it'll go out. Out. And I'll go track down a better rationale. It's easy. Okay. Now we've got... Well, we've still got 10 minutes left. Let's see if we can pick off another one. Here's another one. We talked a bit about this one and just didn't get done. What we said about IDN attacks, which are lookalike characters and so forth, for standard exploitation techniques. This was coming out of SAC 37, and I think that the payday phrase, this is awfully small, let me make this bigger. The payday in this one is that this certainly isn't in scope in and of itself. It's more that it could be a threat vector. What we've found in later discussions is that we wanted to put some nuance on some of these that said, no, not in general, but that we might want to include them in the discussion of some of the other vulnerabilities as a threat vector. And I guess the question that we need to resolve is, does that make sense for people? Should we include it somewhere as a threat vector or just leave it entirely out of scope? Let's see. Jorg is saying, is this ever going to have an impact on the DNS? He's lobbying for out. Then Greg says, if this one's in, then every threat vector is probably in, so I suggest out. I think I'm not going to stop being there. Jacques says, I have a question. If Organization X hosts the FROOT secondaries on their premise, can Organization X change the content of the FROOT of the T-root server?
FROOT.
Really, FROOT server? Okay. And Patrick is saying, perhaps it should be changed from attacks to management of confusable strings. So this one could be changed from an attack to what? Patrick, go ahead.
Yeah, Mikey, it's Patrick. So in looking at this, if the issue is about lookalike characters and confusability, I mean, this is going to touch on something that is...
Patrick, I'm going to interrupt you and encourage you to get a little closer to your phone.
Let me take it off speaker. Okay,
there we go.
So this one is, I think, related to some of the ongoing work within the Variant Project and how strings that involve confusable characters may be managed or not. It's a whole other category that's not under attacks. So you might want to sort of break this off from where it is and change the focus, but and maybe Greg or somebody else can add to it. But I would take it out of this area, but preserve some discussion for management of or dealing with strings and IDNs in a way that may actually have an operational impact.
Greg is saying, are we talking about variants of TLD strings or at the second level and below? I think, just winging it here, Greg, I think that at least when I put this in and wrote this stuff, I was thinking it was TLD strings only. That anything at the second level, and Patrick is agreeing, anything at the second level is out of scope for sure. Then the question would be, if you had a variant of a TLD string, how would it ever get routed to? I think Jim Galvin is saying, I think we should at least leave this as an under discussion until we can see what the results of the ICANN variant case study work is. Patrick's agreeing with Jim on that. Greg has pasted a link to...
No, it's been recent, yeah.
Cheryl, go ahead. What? Fair point?
No, I'm mumbling. I'm doing a U. Don't worry about it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm glad. Mumbling is a good contagion. So I'm pleased to see, you know, maybe by the end of this working group, we'll all be sort of stumbling, mumbling, lurching about type people. Okay, so it sounds like at least leave it under discussion, find a better home for it, maybe make sure that it's Greg just clarified the link that he posted. The variant project says, quote, the benefits and risks associated with the potential delegation of variant TLDs. Patrick saying, take out the attacks. Yeah, I've got that in there. Why don't I take an action to find a better home for it? And and we'll leave it under discussion. Oh, and we're going to Greg, is that the link that you posted? Is to the Variance Project page? Okay, thank you very much, sir. Greg says yes for the transcript. Paste that in. Okay, good deal. All right, I'll take an action to fiddle with that a bit. Okay, the next one that's still under discussion is malicious or unintentional erroneous alteration of DNS configuration in SAC 44. And this, again, is the... Here's a pile of stuff. Let me just see if I can thin that out a little bit. SAC 44 was a pretty broad conversation about name server configuration information. And clearly, in general, this is out of scope for us. Because if we put this all in scope, we'd be all the way down to the very edge of the network, and that's not our intent. The conversation we had on scope is summarized here, and what we were saying when we talked about it was it's clearly it depends on the target, and if the target were at the either root or TLD level, it might be. Also depends a bit on the number of domains that are affected. I think that's, again, clarifying that we're really only talking about root and TLD level. And then if we were to explore this, we would have to clarify this narrowing of the scope. No, we're not going to tackle everything that's in SAC 44, but to the extent that it's directed at or an issue at the root or TLD, with that caveat, is it in or out of scope? I think that's the key. And Cheryl typed in the chat, I'd leave this one under discussion, noting that the limitation, noting the limitation to the root and the TLDs, and we could certainly do that too. Or we could just agree that at the top level in TLDs, this is in scope. Is there anybody that disagrees with that? Hesitation.
Okay, Cheryl here for the record. I don't disagree with that. I'm happy with it to be in scope, but if it's in scope, I think it needs to be decoupled specifically from SAC 44 unless we're really clear about the limitations to TLD, because SAC 44 is so general.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
About that for a refinement.
That I can live with. In scope.
Okay, so if we did that, let me just refine this a little bit. To get that in there. How do people feel about that revised version? Jim is typing. And I think we'll kind of wrap it up after this last little discussion. So if we don't get the conclusion, we'll just leave it under discussion and wrap up for the day. Yeah. Jim's way ahead of me. Yeah, we're going to wrap up real soon. Let me leave it under discussion for now, and we'll circle back to this one. It is the top of the hour, and I thank you all for another great conversation today, and see you in a week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mikey.
Bye, thanks.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, Sam. You may now stop the recording. Thank you,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you for a moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Natalie. A million. It sounds like we're all